What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It says, but as you are bound in everything, are we together? As you are bound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you are bound in this grace also. Amen. Amen. Let's have the NIV. I love this. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and your love for us, also excel in this grace of giving. Amen. Let's go to the book of Peter. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. How many of you have that faith? Okay, you don't have it. I have it. Praise the Lord. That have received a faith that is as precious as ours. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be yours in what? In abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. King James. I like the word there. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now I understand why the NIV omits the word multiply. But I'll explain to you, because what I want to talk about this morning is how to excel in grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. Grace is the divine ability of God. Grace is the empowerment of God. Are you with me? Anything from God that empowers a man, that gives him the edge in life, is the grace of God. Are you with me? Anything that has come to a man on account of what Jesus Christ has done for him or her is the grace of God. You follow now? That's why life is a gift. Nobody here worked for life. Life is a gift. It's the grace, is the benevolence of God. And then the grace of God also is the That same grace is an empowerment that gives a man or a woman edge. The philosopher Ecclesiastes, he said, I've noticed that the race is not always to the swift. Are you getting me? The battle is not always to the strong. Bread is not always to men of skill, nor favor to men of understanding. But what did he learn? He said, in all things, there's something known as what? Time and chance. So hear this now. It's not always the hustler that gets the job. It's not always the most hardworking person that eventually comes on top. He didn't say that he shouldn't be hardworking. He said, I've come to a conclusion, I've seen, I've observed something, that it's not just those who have understanding that attract open doors. That's what he meant by favor. He says, but I have also come to see that in life, there's a factor called time and what? Chance. There's a way that time has a way of creating opportunities for people. That when someone comes to a place, it will just be his time. And it will just be the person's what? Opportunity. What it means is that stronger people would have passed there. More intelligent people would have passed there. But somehow they don't get to see it. Now, what he was calling time and chance is what in our everyday lives we call luck. And luck means charm. Actually, when we say that somebody, he was just lucky, or just so lucky, what you're actually saying is that you can't understand how, but something has happened for the person to have been where the person is. Are you getting me? Now, that time and chance is a very important factor in anything that anybody does in excelling, because it is supernatural. Grace, the grace of God, That ability of God, everybody needs it to give us the edge in life. Did you get me? Tell anybody you need the favor of God. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 8. Let's see something about the life of Joseph. Joseph was good looking. He was a smart kid. I believe that. But that's not exactly all that worked for him. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, verse 9. And the patriarchs becoming envious sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Verse 10 says, and delivered him out of all his trouble and gave him, did you see that word coming there? And gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and over all his house. Look at this. Do you know how many people passed in front of Pharaoh? Do you know how many intelligent people have been providing answers for Pharaoh? Do you know before they called Joseph, they had called prominent people to come and interpret Joseph's, Pharaoh's dream. There's a way words change their meaning. Today when you say somebody is a magician, the picture we get of magicians are people who sit by the roadside and bring snakes that they try to charm so that people come and drop something. Or somebody who go to, people who go to maybe a circus and then they try to just, they say, wow, that was some magic. When I was in South Africa, I went to the popular street where Mandela lived. And all manner of activities, more like a market. All kinds of things happened there. And there was this guy who threw a cap in the air. You know, it would be hanging there for over 3 minutes. He would walk away from it. The tune would still be turning. You know, he would come back. He said, I said, you devil, if I want to spoil your business now. You know? He said, I had a good laugh. You know, and he was saying, if we drop money, he would do more things for us. I said, when you need a miracle, you will look for me. That's not really what magic is. Yes, it's part of it. But in Bible days, people who were called magicians were people who were said to be wise men. People who were intellectually sound, who could enter into esoteric realms and provide answers for present day situation. So when they say somebody is a wise man, it's not someone who tells proverbs. Akin to the word wise is what we call professors today. People who have mastered a particular field and they stand out. To tell you how powerful Jesus is, was, is, and it will be, is that after he was born, despite the fact that he was in a lowly manger, wise men came seeking him. They said, we have seen his what? His star. You don't see those stars in books. These were men who are known for studying systems, studying constellations, galaxies. Do you understand me? Having said that, I want to get the picture of the kind of people that Pharaoh had passing before him, probably years before this boy was sold as a slave. But at that moment, some years ago, Reverend Aramada preached a message I will not forget, how to become a governor. And he preached it from this Acts chapter 7, how to become a governor. How did this Joseph, a boy who was locally interpreting dreams in his community, who used to say to everybody, one day I'm going to be a president, who had no seeming hope of ruling the world from where he was, how did this man now stand in front of the most important person of his time and become governor? It couldn't be just skill. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I love the way these scriptures puts it. That despite all his troubles and things he went through, God gave him, it's a gift. God gave him favor and wisdom. May I dare to say, favor and wisdom can make somebody here a governor. So when we are saying that the favor of God brought you to a place, it doesn't mean you didn't do anything. It doesn't mean you were not prepared. There's no way you say Joseph was not prepared. He has been in the dream business for a while. If you understand, it's 13 long years of talking dreams. But this particular moment is not just interpreting dreams that made the difference. It's that there was favor and wisdom that was made available to him. My brother and my sister, you need favor, you need wisdom. Well, you didn't hear me. When that shop opens,
You need favor. You need wisdom. When you plant that line of business, am I talking to someone? You need what? Favor. You need wisdom. Now, after you have opened that shop and put all the ACs and you've done everything that needs, you need favor so that certain people will cross your path. I remember here the day Pastor Sam Ogbonnaya was teaching, and he gave that illustration of where you find yourself at the various ladder of the rung of the economy that determines what comes to you in how God has orchestrated things in the scheme of events when it comes to money being distributed. Remember, he said, need to move from certain places to certain places closer to where the money flows, hello, so I can have access to it. Remember that illustration. If you're in church, there's no way you can forget. If you forgot, then there's no service that can help you. The truth is, some people walk all their lives to move from there here. It's not possible. Sometimes we even get an extra degree to help us move. That's why they are suffering professors and doctors. You know what moves people? You know the chief thing that moves people from there to this place is the favor and the wisdom of God. Say, I receive.
I receive.
Favor and wisdom.
Favor and wisdom.
So the grace of God, is that the grace of God increases? No. The grace of God towards Pastor Steve is the grace of God towards me. Romans chapter 5. Give me Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, somebody say, therefore. Somebody say, anywhere you see therefore, check what it's there for. Are you with me? Therefore, having been justified by faith. If there's someone like that here, let me see your hand go up. If you've been justified by faith, no works. Let me say, well, I'm one of a few that has been justified by faith. The rest of you trying to get your justification, may you find it. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are at the Home Cell Church yesterday, we talked about peace. We have peace with God. I have peace with God. You know what that peace means? God knows they vex with me. I'm not even angry with him too. I have received his perfect forgiveness. I'm at rest in my heart. I am not trying to be anything he has not made me. That's peace. I am happy with God and I'm happy with myself. That's why you don't like yourself. That's why you're trying to get something. You know, if I have a job, more people will respect me. If I make more money, nobody will talk to me like that. No, you have a complex. The reason I don't have a wife yet is because I don't have a job yet. Don't worry, when you have money, you'll be able to buy one. But you need to be at peace. God loves you. Did you know that? He says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. So I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Look at the result of that transaction. Verse 2 says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Hey, so what God gave Joseph is what I am standing inside. Because grace, when you bring favor and you bring wisdom, if you combine it together, it's called grace. If you say a man has grace, check the person's life. You will see favor. You will see wisdom. Sometimes you might say it's problem-solving skill. That thing you are calling problem-solving skill. If God removes his grace from you, you'll be wondering how come it is so difficult. You know, sometimes the grace of God flowing through us is not always in spectacular ways like falling under the power of God. But it's in supernatural ways. Some of you can testify, some things come to you with ease until you see others struggling to solve it. E.g., further mathematics. You know, if someone walks here and says, if X equals this and Y equals what, some of you just stand up and say, this service is over. Are you getting what I'm saying? You just say, no, why are you leaving? You say, no, I don't know why I say if X is, what is X? But when there's the grace of God operating in your life, some things come with ease. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, let's quickly establish this. The grace of God is there. We are standing in the grace of God. This grace is to make your life easy. This grace is to do in your life what he did in Joseph's life and all the patriarchs. So the question now is that, since the grace of God is cannot be quantified, how many of you know it's about you walking in different measures of it? Because the grace of God is abundant towards us, but we are not all walking in the same measure of grace. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, where we read, said, as you excel in this, see also that you excel in this. That means every God-given grace can be excelled in. Or you can see deeper dimensions of that grace in your life. You can experience more of God's grace. Now, when I say more of God's grace, I don't even know what I mean now. It's not like God is giving you extra grace, but you will see greater manifestations of the grace of God in your life. Now, where a lot of people miss it is that they say, well, I have the grace of God, but they fail to realize that you can increase the measure by which you operate in it. So let me say, the grace of God towards all of us is equal, but the operations of grace in our lives are different. As I said, 2 Peter 1:2 says that what? What was his prayer? Grace and peace be what? Be multiplied. Why didn't Peter say, you guys are already in grace? There's something he was saying. You can increase in the measure of this grace. You can experientially have more of it. Give us 2 Peter 1, 2, amplified. Yeah. May grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and what? Correct knowledge of God. There's another translation I'm looking for that speaks about the grace of God working in our lives experientially. Let me tell you, one of God's good graces, healing. Healing is a gift from God. Health is a covenant benefit. But some people are always sick. Who are Christians? You know, sometimes I wonder why this beautiful Christianity, some people are always sad. I was talking to them in Boko last Wednesday, and I said, I discovered that in life, knowledge is very important. It's not exactly what we go through. Because two people can be going through the same thing, but having different experiences. It's perspective, perception. Focus. To be carnally minded is death. No, say yes, it's a scripture now. It's to believe as a believer that is carnally minded will die. A believer that is spiritually minded will live. So there's a thing, there's a place your mind plays as to what your experiences are. That's why Joseph could be in prison and be asking other prisoners, why are you sad? Because it's not normal for prisoners to ask themselves. The warden is asking you, why are you sad? You can understand, because he'll go and see his wife after work. But two fellow prisoners, and then one is asking the other one. I know the irony is the person who was there longer that was asking the one who just came. Because the butler and the baker, they met Joseph there. And I'm sure their offenses were legit. Joseph was accused. Was undue, was unfairly treated. I've never been in prison. I've been put in a cell because of church members. Amen. But the cell I was put in was not very bad. I was just there briefly and came out. But when you enter the main one, as you're entering, they'll tell you who Presido is. There's somewhere that is known as Presido. He's the longest there. So if they bring food for you, I heard you take it to Presido, he will eat. When he's done, he said, the rest of you can eat. Food they brought for you. Dilly, Joseph will have been an area father and asking people. But Joseph didn't say, look at Abuja. He had time, serious time. It's all well. Are you okay? Why are you sad? That's for illustration, praise God. So you understand now, is the way he was thinking. He was in a prison, but the prison was not in him. So I discovered that most of our work as believers is how to constantly break the prisons in the mind, not the one outside. So I can constantly be packing the blocks out. Be a free man, even when situations try to keep you bound. Now, I might be saying these things in very simple ways, but these are the things that makes grace to abound. So quickly write down. How to entreat the grace of God. Believe you are favored. Believe you are favored. Never believe you are disadvantaged. Genesis 39, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 39, 1 to 4. The Bible tells us that God was with Genesis 39, 39, 39. Amen. Joseph, I'm taking down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. That's the word I'm going to say. Bought him from the Ishmaelites who are taking him down there. When you are bought, you'll be sad. When you are bought, you'll be sad. But regardless of where life takes you, believe you are favored. I know you can enter that office tomorrow and believe that you are favored. I'm working with someone, but I believe I'm favored. They say, you don't even add anything to this office. It doesn't matter, but I know I am what? I'm favored. Because if you read down, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. So prosperity begins with who is with you. Amen. Believe you are. He was a successful man and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. Praise God. Number two, beware the favor of God is announced. Amen. Beware the favor of God is announced. Wow. I love this one. Someone say, why? Who wrote this? This book I read recently. Why am I for? I've been reading that book for many years now. Christ the Healer. F.F. Bosworth. Maybe I read the book. Okay. All right. F.F. Bosworth wrote the book Christ the Healer. And in that book he said, position yourself where the mercy of God can reach you. Okay, let me give you a very good example. You want to marry a wife, you're always in the nightclub. I don't know how you want a Christian girl. Do you understand me? Though the grace of God is towards you, but I don't know how you want that to happen. You know, I need you to help me. You can't party all Saturday night, come to church on Sunday and expect a Christian girl. Then you are complaining, God, how come the girls are coming around my way as slave queens? You know, you presented yourself on the altar. Do you get me? So you have to position yourself in a place where grace, where the mercy of God can reach you. It's raining. If you put a roof, you'll not experience water. Write down Luke chapter 4, verse 19. You know, most people who got miracles under Jesus' ministry, where he was, they went to meet him. They positioned themselves. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amplified says, is somebody blessed? Amplified. To proclaim the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord. The day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely what? Abound. Meaning that one of the ways favor takes effect in our life is through pronouncement. As it's announced, we experience it. That means I can't go deep into this, but your ears are very important. That's why Jesus said, blessed are you that your ears hear these things. Constantly be in a place where the favor of God is what? Is pronounced. Like God's word will come to us this morning and the favor of God will be pronounced upon you. Amen. You know, some of the most powerful, astonishing miracles in the Bible were from pronouncements. Prophecies, the prophet will just come and announce, tomorrow somebody's going to buy a Lexus for 20,000 naira. Amen. He will walk away. And guess what? The man who was there and heard it will start testifying. Others will say, I lie. Oh. Such men die at the gate. You know one thing with prophets, they don't owe you explanation for what God said they should say. Beware the favor of God is pronounced. You know, it's powerful after service when hands are lifted and Pastor Aramé says, this week the favor of God go with you, the hand of God rest upon you. Are you getting me? The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Don't be going on the road and say, amen, oh, amen, amen, give me peace. No. If you have the wrong attitude, you get the wrong result. Beware the favor of God is announced. When we go for conferences sometimes, it's not because we've not seen those people before. It's not because we've not heard those people before. It's because there's a now word for that time. Number three, amen. Commit God to what you do. Commit God to what you do. Psalm 50, verse 4. Now, this is different from committing what you do to God. You know, a lot of people commit what they do to God, but they don't commit God to what they do. So what's the difference? You commit what you do to God when you pray about it. Say, God, this is what I'm going to do. May you make it prosper. May you do this. May you do this. Maybe this. Maybe this. What you are doing is that you are committing what you're doing to God. Amen. But when you commit God to what you do, is that you bring him into it. Are you getting me? And make a covenant with him to see his power revealed. I know a word of faith and mighty grace teachers here who say, no. God doesn't do anything because of what we do. Look at scriptures. You constantly see anytime a man says, God, if you do this, I will do this. Watch. They always come back with a testimony. What they are doing is that they are committing God to what they are doing. The boys that were thrown into the furnace, do you remember them? Those boys that were thrown into the furnace, they didn't say, God, you will deliver us. God, you will deliver us. They came to a place where they said, God, even if our God doesn't deliver us, as per bowing, we will not bow. What were they doing? They were committing God to the situation, meaning they were placing a demand on God for performance. Amen. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Next verse, he says, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. This is committing God to what you do. That means you are the one who pulls God into it and make an agreement with him. Okay, Genesis. Go to Genesis. Genesis 28, verse 20. I was listening to Madam Alakija, and I don't know if you know her. Course you know her. And when she was really, I was listening to her a few weeks ago, and she was talking about when her oil block was revoked, and the government was fighting tooth and nail to make sure she doesn't get it. And it turned to a legal battle, and it was in court, and they were looking for ways to frustrate her. She got up one day and said, God, I've turned this battle to you. If you give me this before so-and-so time, I am going to do this and this and this and this. He said, I went to sleep because I had a covenant with God. He said, from that day, they became God. 8 months later, the tides turned in our favor. He said, and when God pulls you out, don't defraud him. Do what you said you would do, because that's the key to seeing greater manifestations. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, this is not under the law. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, verse 29, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Amen. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is committing God to what you do. Did you get the difference? Finally, amen. Seeds, offerings provoke favor. Seeds. I've discovered from experience that the higher the sacrifice, the greater the flow of favor. Psalm 45 verse 12. Psalm 45 verse 12. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. Meaning when you seek favor, you come with what? You come with gifts. You come with offering. Say amen. When people are believing God for something, there's a scripture they always quote. Philippians 4:19. Let's read it as we close and get ready. Amen. So let the sons and daughters of CFC entreat God. Are you me? If you want to see favor manifest, engage in this. Someone say, are you buying it? You are not buying it. You know, the Bible says a man's gift does what? Makes room for him and brings him before great men. Go and look at other translations. It says a man's bribe. You know, the word bribe in its true sense is not a bad word. It is when it is forced. The word bribe means to have an edge by way of a gift. That's why when Jacob was coming, Jacob knows how to bribe. When he was coming to meet Esau, and he wasn't sure whether Esau had forgiven him or not, what did he do? He sent a bribe. The Bible says a gift turns away anger. I don't have time. I can show you scriptures. A gift can even turn around judgment. So I tell you, if you can't bribe men, bribe God. Now, how many of you know this scripture? Amen. Can we? Okay, take your eyes off the board. Oh, I said board. Okay. That means I've been preaching for a while. Now, take your eyes off the screen. Let's quote it together. 1, 2, 3, go. You know, I still heard, my God shall supply all my needs. If you said that, be honest and put your hand up. Be honest. I like that. Be honest. For once, you're in the presence of God. He's here. Don't lie. If you said, my God shall supply all my needs. Yeah, put your hand up. Because I heard many people say, now, those of you who are lying, your sins are forgiven you in Jesus' name. But that scripture says, my God shall supply all your needs. It is not a confession of faith. It's a prayer that was made. Philippians 4:19 is not what you say for yourself. It's what Paul was saying for the Philippian church. So the question is, who is making that prayer for you? Because it's Paul that was saying, my God will supply all your needs. But for a lot of Christians, it's my God will supply all my needs. Because the only person they give to is themselves.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.